those in the cars. And tune into the chapel Facebook if possible, and see at the same time what's happening on the inside. So we, in view of Remembrance Day, we have this opportunity of remembering. And so we will we'll begin right now doing that.
Take up our quarrel with the foe, you from failing hands we set. The torch be yours to hold it high, if you break faith with us you die. If we shall not sleep, the poppies grow and find your fields.
They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor be discontent. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Together we observe a moment of silence to mark the sacrifice of the many who have fallen in the service of their country. and to acknowledge the courage of those who stood still.
Now we will observe 2 minutes of silence and ministered to us in this way. Dar, if you could hear the poppy, the plane that found the outside in his pipes. And we do thank the Lord for so many who faithfully served our country and gave many who gave their lives for our country. And we do thank the Lord for those individuals. I'd just like to make a few announcements as we begin and into this part of our time. Remember Mark, Jay is in Merge and not doing well. She has, you saw the prayer request perhaps, she has pneumonia and she's very fragile. Jerry Steele is struggling with the infection, so pray for Jerry. Don's not quite sure how she's doing today, but she's praying for her. And Phil was saying Marilyn is home as of yesterday, but she has quite a ways of recovery to do, so just pray for Marilyn. And there's just so many right now who are struggling and suffering. And we have lots of reason and need to pray for our family here. And obviously there are a variety of others. We think of Jordan and Ezra, and just so many different needs. So just pray. I think that's one of the most wonderful things and important things that we can do for our family. I wanted to mention this morning. There's a calendar that is from Family FBH, and that Ron Hughes was a part of, and still has some obviously connection with. But it's just a calendar. If you would like one, there's some back there to get picked up when you leave, if you would so choose. So they've provided those for us, and Hazel delivered those for us, and so we thank Hazel for that. I'm sure there are other things we are missing. I do thank, again, thankful for everyone, Victoria and Zeke and John and all those who put our presentation together this morning. Let's ask God to bless our time. Father, we do thank you that you are a sovereign God in the midst of an evil world. And you're in control, even when things sometimes seem to be out of control. We thank you that your love for us is abundant. We know that because of Christ coming and dying in our place to pay for our sin. So we rejoice and we rest in that love. We rest in you. You are what you have done. We just pray that in our thoughts together in the Word, that we might just be in sync with you, that your Spirit might have sway and to work as he desires and knows what we need in our hearts. We all are in points, we all have need as long as we're in this whole world. And we just pray that our time together would be genuinely profitable for each of us because the Spirit of God so works within us. Guide my thoughts, my words, that might be consistent with your word. So we ask for help in Christ's name. Amen. We are so thankful for those who have been soldiers, who have gone overseas, who have served so faithfully, endured the fight, where we have freedom today because of that. We're so thankful for soldiers who didn't go AWOL, who abandoned their post. One of the things I was pondering this week, in a world of such immense difficulty, it is easy for Christians sometimes to go AWOL. Because it is a fight. I was just talking to a dear friend of mine yesterday, and we're talking about the battle. It is just living a Christian life. And the danger is we get weary, we get beat up, we mess up, and we get tempted to drop out. We get tempted to go AWOL in our Christian life. And that's why I would like to come to this passage this morning. If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I'd like to go to verse 35. Verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. I'm going to stop there for a moment. We have need of endurance. Now, it was written to Christians. The Hebrew book was written to Christians. And it's a warning to them of the danger that was facing them to drift away and drop out of living a Christian life. The temptation has always been there from the very beginning. And they were facing this temptation. I'd just like you to follow with me. I'm going to read a few verses in Hebrews that talks about what the writer, we really don't know for sure who the writer is. Obviously, God knows, because this is God's book. But several passages that, again, this is warning. Don't drop out. Don't give up. Don't go AWOL. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 2. This is early on in the book, Hebrews 2, 1. And then I'll just pick and choose. There's a variety that we could read, but I'm just going to read a few verses. Hebrews 2, 1 reads this. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Pay much closer attention so we don't drift away in our spiritual walk. This is another passage, Hebrews 3, go to the next chapter, Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take care, brother, notice this written to Christians. Take care, brother, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. And we're not talking about falling away from salvation. We're talking about falling away from an intimate relationship with the Lord and not walking with the Lord. But notice, take care. And we still have a sin capacity, even as a believer, a sin nature. And that can so dupe us and dump us if we are not careful. Now, this is a kind of, as you move through the book and you get to all the way, I'm going to jump all the way, there's other verses, but I'm going to jump all the way to Hebrews 12. And when I read verse 1, it will immediately come to your mind. It's a challenging verse. It's consistent with everything that's said previously in Hebrews. It's kind of moving toward this climax. It says in verse 1, therefore, Hebrews 12, 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about all those who have gone before us, who have stayed steady, who have been faithful in their faith. It says, a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. When I read that word, entangles us, I always think of my horse. One time, years back, my horse said, this is a dangerous thing on a farm. My horse got in barbed wire. It got wrapped around his hoof, right above his hoof. It can just devastate, it can destroy the horse if it cuts their tendon. And I remember how careful we had to be to get that unwrapped. But that's what sin does. Do not be so easily entangled. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Run with endurance. Don't get entangled by sin. Don't let barbed wire of sin wrap itself around you and stop you. And then he says in verse 3, of the same chapter, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, the Lord Jesus, sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And the implication is lose heart and drop out. Don't do that. Don't go there. Now, one of the reasons that the Hebrews so needed to hear this, they were in danger of drifting and dropping out of walking the Christian life. The reason is because they were experiencing immense persecution, and the persecution was getting more and more intense. And so they were very tempted at this point. Is this worth it? Now, you know, I've said this more and more recently, but as I am observing what's going on around the world through articles on the church that's being persecuted, I mean, right now, the intensity of persecution, they said, in China toward Christians is rising to the level as it has never been in our lifetime. And that is not just in China. We have persecution in Pakistan, Somalia, just around the world. So if you think, I mean, here we're sending, thank the Lord, in freedom, we think of those who have made this possible as we celebrate him, and we're so thankful for the soldiers who have fought to give us this freedom. But what if we were in China? What if we were, and usually they meet, and now they can usually only meet in some kind of a zone, a closed cluster, maybe in a house that they hope no authorities discover. But what if the authorities would come in and begin arresting you? What if they arrested your father or took your children? Don't you think we'd start thinking, you know, I'm not so sure this Christian life thing is not what I signed up for. And the Hebrews were starting to think that way. I'm not sure I want to stay signed up. And so their temptation for them was to go back into Judaism. You know, go back. Now, of course, that's not our temptation, but our temptation is to get caught up in other things, or just, not be registered and thought of as a Christian. Don't say anything about Christ. Don't go to church anymore. Think of how many dear Christians, just even in our time, I think the danger is just, well, I'm not going to go to church anymore. It's a big danger. Therefore, let's go back to our passage in chapter 10, verse 35, with this context in mind. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. We need a faith that endures. Don't throw away your confidence, your faith. Now, they had already, I mean, give them credit. They had already suffered. But you know, after a while, we wear down. Even like in this pandemic, people just are wearing down, right? Well, if you're suffering, you're really suffering as a Christian, and this is what was happening. If you notice the context of Hebrews 10, and I'm going to go back up to verse 32. You notice we've got that word in verse 35, the word therefore, well, it's pushing us back. Notice verse 32. Therefore, remember the former days when after being enlightened, after you came to Christ, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. They'd already endured a lot of suffering. And then it says in verse 33, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. Verse 34, for you showed sympathy to the prisoners. Some had been arrested for their faith. You showed sympathy to them and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property. And just think, somebody comes into your house because you're a Christian and they clean it out. And that's what had happened to some of these dear Christians. They've been ripped off. The authorities came in and just took it. Seizing your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better, this is what kept them in the race. At that point, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. And a lasting one. There's something beyond this life. But boy, we got to remember that. When we're suffering in this life, they had endured suffering, but now they're tempted. This is just not worth it. Some of them are saying, I can't keep on keeping on. He says this, do not throw away your confidence, your faith. Don't cast it aside. They had faith. They had been walking with the Lord, going through all kinds of pain and anguish. They kept on keeping on, and now they're thinking about throwing it away. I was thinking about people that, let's say, your grandmother. You hear this every once in a while. You know, maybe some member of your family had this picture, or some old thing, and the kids come along or the grandkids come along. And they're wanting to clear out the house, right? And I'm feeling a little less pressure on ourselves. We got all the, they call it junk, but I know it's all treasure, right? But anyway, so they come along and say, let's get rid of that old picture, or get rid of that old thing and take it to Value Village. And then later on, someone comes along and sees that, and they realize that thing is worth something. And the person who got rid of it, who drug it off and dumped it someplace, said, "What was I thinking? What was I thinking?" Well, you weren't thinking. And the danger is we can throw away our confidence and stop running the race. One has said this about the confidence. They must not throw away their confidence of faith, which has expressed itself so admirably in the past days. They've been faithful. To turn aside now to Judaism, which was their temptation, would mean to lose their great prospect of reward in the eternal future. We can't forget what is coming. Even though there's pain in the present, there's a prize at the end if we stay faithful in the present. Do not throw away your confidence. Do not throw it away. Notice, and this is what should keep our attention, which has a great reward. Has a great reward. We've got to keep our eyes on the prize. A great reward. It's very similar to the passage in Matthew, and I'll read this to you. Matthew 5:11, and it's a whole area of suffering and persecution. Verse 11, blessed are you, and when people insult you, well, that doesn't seem to make sense, and it even gets worse. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me, the Lord Jesus said. How in the world can a person be blessed? How can that be good for you? To be persecuted and someone to accuse you by way of lying about you, which causes suffering to you. Notice what he says, though. It even it seems more bizarre as a reverse row. Rejoice and be glad. You gotta be kidding. what are you? Are you into pain? No. He's got his eyes on the prize. For he says, for your reward in heaven is great. It's great. The reward ahead, the prize is great. It's not a wimpy little thing, cheap thing, when you go, I think when we, sometimes we go, we'll take our grandkids, we'll go to, like say, a window of windage, right? Then you get a little prize for the kids, right? Well, the prize usually lasts about as long as the ride home, right? I mean, it's bright and shiny. And they get a little moment of, but then the O is gone and the prize is lost and it meant nothing. But we have a wonderful prize ahead that's eternal. And it's great. We cannot lose our sight on the prize. It's a great reward, a great reward. One writes, don't throw away your trust now, your faith now, your confidence now. It carries with it a rich reward in the world to come. I know you remember this, Jim Elliot's statement, which is so true. The missionary who was martyred, living out his Christian faith and sharing Christ with those who were lost. Jim Elliot said this, he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. That is a profound statement. As I look at life, it's so tempting to just get caught up in the temporary. We think, oh, okay, could just have this, right? If I could just get this. And it doesn't mean all those things are bad. But if you put all your hope on the whatever the this is, maybe it's the car, maybe, you know, maybe it's the house, or maybe whatever it is, whatever the price is, if it's just bound in time. Now, God may want you to have that, but that's not the end of the deal. That's just part of our journey. And we need to make sure we're looking for the great reward and not just a little frivolous, momentary, time-bound prize that the world gives. We need to live for the eternal. Now notice, and that's why we need endurance. For he goes on to say, now just for context, I read verse 35 and then we move into verse 36 of Hebrews 10. Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. The word endurance in the original language is hupomone. And it has, that Greek word has the idea, and one scholar puts it this way. It is a spirit that can bear things not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. With hope. I can get through this. I can endure this. I can go through this situation. And then he goes on to say, the spirit that bears all things because it knows that these things are leading to a goal of glory. A goal of glory. We have need of endurance. Hanging it in there, staying with the task, living out the Christian life, even when it's not fun, even when there's persecution, even when there's rejection. And it's a lot easier said than done, but it cannot be done unless we keep our eyes on the real promise, the great reward. And notice, in order to have that reward, it says, so when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. When you have done the will of God. When we have faith, now I think this song is so, so valuable, trust and obey. Trust the Lord, obey the Lord. So as we have faith in the Lord, and we have faith in the Lord, then we see what we have, we see the strength of the Lord, we see the promises of the Lord, we keep our faith focused on the Lord, and then we're to move out in obedience to the Lord, counting on the promises of the Lord. We can stay steady, doing the will of God. Doing the will of God. Andrew Murray said years ago, we have been so little accustomed in our Christian life to give the doing of God's will its right place. And there is so much misconception about it, as if it is not actually expected of us. That it will take time and trouble to get the heart under the complete mastery of thought. I am at every moment to be doing what is the will of God. Now it's not obviously the will of God. We think, well, you know, where should I live? What job should I have? You know, those things. And that's a part of God's will. But God's will is laid out in God's word. And we have principles in God's word that guides us down the path. And so those principles from God's word lay out the journey, the path that we should take to do God's will in a day-to-day basis. Like, how does God's will look this afternoon? Well, there are principles that plug into how we live this afternoon. So living out God's will, we know his promises, or we should be getting to know his promises more and more as we read the word, we study the word, we realize what he promises, what he's given us, what makes it sufficient for us to live this life, and then walk it out in God's will. That's what God desires. But again, we need endurance to do that, right? And the promise is what helps us keep on keeping on. Notice, as we read, you have need of endurance. You have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Just think of it. You ever think of endurance? And I've never run a marathon, so this is observation, not participation. But just think what it would be like for a person who has, you know, real marathon, able to, and think how much time and work and effort is going on to train to do a marathon, the endurance that is required, not only to run the marathon, but to prepare for the marathon. And we need, and in the Christian life, we need the endurance to keep on keeping on, even when we're exhausted, when we feel pain, when it's hard, when we want to give up. We need endurance so that we will receive what was promised, the promise, the great reward. Keep our eyes on the prize. The eyes on the prize. And the encouragement for us is so needed. The challenge for us is so important. Notice what he does to bolster our confidence. Verse 37, for yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come. In a very little while. Now, you know, as we measure time, we think, hey, you know, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's been quite a while, right? Now, as we move closer and closer in the whole world, what's going on, you can just see things lining up, and we don't know exactly when the Lord will come. But this passage is more true today than it was yesterday. For yet in a very little while, from God's measurement, he who is coming will come. From God's standpoint, it's just ready to happen. My brother and I were talking to this, as you know, they've been through an awful lot of difficulty. His wife, Beverly, has had this brain tumor. And after the last, she's had several different surgeries, and this last one, she just, some of her abilities are just not there. Her memory's far, far from what it was. And her ability to cope with day-to-day stuff is a lot more difficult than it used to be. But they're believers. They love the Lord. And my brother said we're kind of in a new normal, right? And so everything's had to change. There's a lot of changes in their life. But, you know, they know the Lord. They're trusting the Lord. And my brother and I were saying, wouldn't it be great if we're part of the rapture? Wouldn't it be great if the Lord came there and just... I'm ready to go. You ready? The Lord's coming. And from God's perspective, it's just next door. It's just waiting to happen. In a very little while, he who is coming will come. Isn't that a great statement? He who is coming will come. He will come. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise. We can be confident. And in his coming, in the context of this passage, and obviously in our understanding of end time to things, when he comes, in the process of working all the details out, that's when there'll be rewards handed out. He's coming, and he's going to reward those who have been faithful to him. So he's encouraging us, hang in there, endure. The prize, Christ is coming, and he's going to reward, and the reward is going to be great. Hang in there. Don't give up. He will not delay. But one writes, until he comes, the path of the believer is a path of faith. We're walking. There's obviously many things we need to trust God for, but one of the ones in the context of this passage is we're counting on the prize, the great reward. Now notice as he gives us some more clarification. Verse 38, but my righteous one shall live by faith. Homer Kent, in his commentary, said, the righteous one is the believer, the one who has been justified by faith. My righteous one shall live by faith. Now, of course, we're born again by faith. We trust Christ, we're saved. We're justified by faith. But faith is not supposed to just stop there. And that, sometimes, actually, it kind of does. We think, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, you know, and no, we begin by faith, but we're to continue walking by faith. As one says, not only the first step of faith, but a vital continuing on the path of faith is what we're called to. Led by faith. Trusting God for the day-to-day and with that confidence of the future coming. The prize that awaits. Notice this, that there's a challenge to us. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, and notice these Christians were in danger of dropping out and shrinking back, pulling back, not wanting to have any more persecution, not wanting to have any more problems, not wanting to be, you know, mocked. He says, don't shrink back. But he says, challenge us. And if we shrink back, the Lord says, my soul has no pleasure in him. If we draw back from walking the Christian life, trusting the Lord, obeying the Lord, we pull back from that, the Lord, that gives the Lord no pleasure. My soul has no pleasure in him. Now, of course, if the Lord has no pleasure in us, it means he can't reward us the degree he wants to. He says, shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. For our faith to weaken, and our walk to get wobbly, is to displease the Lord, bring displeasure to him. You know, living the Christian life is a relationship with the Lord. You know, when you go through, and if you're in a relationship like someone you love, you want to please them. And we should want to please the Lord. And this is part of the way we do that. But our faith can be so windy at times. Remember what the Lord said? He was talking about, this is in Matthew 6:30, but if the Lord closed the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Won't he take care of you? Then he's challenged you of little faith. He doesn't say no faith, but he says you have dinky faith. You have little faith. You're not trusting me. And he has, you know, many times, remember when Peter was, you know, he got out of the boat. We have to give credit. Peter got out of the boat. But then he saw the waves, right? And he starts going down and he calls out the Lord, and the Lord says to him, you know, he didn't say, hey, well, it's a good first try. He didn't say that. He says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You of little faith. You know, I'm sure the Lord, if we were in the boat and we were getting out of the boat, we would probably be exactly where Peter's at. And the Lord would say to us, John, little faith, why did you doubt? May the Lord help us not shrink back, not pull back in walking the Christian life with vibrant faith. Now, faith has to grow, and that's where the Word of God comes in, right? If you neglect the Word, you're setting yourself up for a fall. It's just life. It's just reality. Taking the Word so our faith grows and we're strengthened. But he goes on, he adds a clarification. I think this is important for us. In verse 39 again, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction. Now notice, we can shrink back, but not to destruction. Now you think the word destruction can be used of eternal destruction. And I think actually he's giving them, you know, in the midst of their wobbling walk, he says, don't shrink back and lose the great reward, but he's also saying you will not lose your eternal salvation. Because he goes on to say, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. Now, we can have a wimpy faith, but the wonderful thing is the Lord, you know, we trust Christ, but it doesn't mean when we walk, we're going to lose our salvation. We believe in eternal security. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But it's not something we don't want to just say, well, you know, I know I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, who cares? No, we don't want to miss the prize. But he's encouraging them that they'll not lose their salvation. But he's still challenging them to stay in the race. You know, we can lose a lot when we stand before the Lord, even as believers. Obviously, the person who trusts Christ, they're still going to stand before the Lord. You know, we won't stand at the great white throne, but that's for those who have rejected Christ, who have denied Christ, who have never put their faith in Christ. They'll be at the great white throne, and that's not going to be an issue whether I get to go to heaven or not. That's going to be just there, how great their punishment will be. But we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. All of us will stand. Not as our exempt, as believers in Christ. If you trust in Him, we still have this part of our journey is ahead of us when we stand before Christ. And this is part of what will happen. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13, it says, each man's work will become evident. Isn't that kind of scary? Whoa! Each man's work, each lady's work, each young person's work, each man's work will become evident. But the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. It's going to be tested, absolutely. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Test the quality. Was it of value to before the Lord? Verse 14, if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. He'll receive a reward. That's what we all want, right? We want a great reward. But if any man's work is burned up, so the sad thing is, some Christians are going to be there, and all they've invested in their life is going, like one of these terrible flames, they're fired. It's all gone. It says, every man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss of reward. But he himself will be saved, yet in his new fire. So thank the Lord. If you trust in Christ, you're saved, you're secure, you're going to heaven. But you may not have much prize when you get there if we don't trust the Lord and obey the Lord now. So he's given us this warning, just being honest with us. You know, it's not something to be depressed about. It's something to be motivated by. Because the Lord wants to reward us. He wants to reward us. He's not stingy. He wants to reward us. But we need to keep walking by faith. You say, well, what do I need to believe? Well, one thing we could just put out in front of us today is, this is a promise. He who is coming will come. If you don't hold on to much else, hold on to that. He who is coming, he's going to come. That's a promise among many, many others. We need faith that endures so that we reap the great reward. And the more we're confident that yes, he's coming. Yes, this is God's will for my life. I know it from God's word. So I'm walking out. I trust his word. I obey his word. I'm getting ready. I'm walking in his will, and I'm getting ready for the great reward. We need to keep our eye on the prize. I was thinking of, I'm looking through, and I came across this last night, and I know you can't really see it out. Especially if you're in a car, but anyway, this is my dad in his military uniform. And on this side, the other side of it, it's dad in his military dress as well. And he's standing at attention up here. And here, he was standing on the beach. He was on the islands, relatively close to Japan, because after Hiroshima was bombed, Dad and his patrol, his group, went into Hiroshima not long after the bombing. So they were not that far. But Dad's standing here, standing at attention, standing in his uniform. He's got a gun on his shoulder. You can see the water on the beach. And then here, he's standing in front of a truck in his army uniform. And then here, he's standing. And of course, I know you can't see, but he's standing at attention, his rifle's held here, and this is Wayne, my dad is Wayne, 1942. Now, Dad served his country, and thankfully he was part of the victory. But you know what? More importantly, Dad came home from the war, and long story, but one of his girlfriends, before he went to war, anyway, she ran off with somebody else. it all fell apart. But Dad met Mom, and they got married. But you know, I was thinking, you know, Dad and Mom both knew the Lord Jesus, and they kept their eye on the prize until the race was won. And I was thinking of this. I've probably shared this before, but my brother told me this. Dad had a brain tumor, and so he had to have some surgery. Just had to have the surgery. And so he's laying on the gurney, the stretcher, and my brother, my mom, and the doctors and the nurses were all around the stretcher as he was getting ready to go into the surgery, which ended up being his last surgery. He never got through, never recovered. But he's laying there on that gurney, and just out of nowhere, he starts singing. He starts singing hymns. And my brother said to me, there wasn't a dry eye in that room. The dad was just singing with the Lord. And he shortly was with the Lord. Because he finished the race. And I assume he won the prize. Dad kept his eye on the prize. That's not an issue of pride on my part, but thankfulness. May God help all of us. Help all of us have an enduring faith. So we'll receive the great reward. Let's pray. God, we know life's not easy. And we know some dear ones are suffering a lot. Some are suffering physically, and we pray for them to lift them up. And we see around the world, some are suffering in so many ways. They've lost everything. Some of them are in prison. Some of them are in hiding. Some of them are just gripped by fear. Father, we pray for all of your family, all of those who know the Lord Jesus, wherever they are this morning. And by your grace, you'll help them refocus on the prize, so that they can have faith that endures and receive a great reward. We pray that for each one of us. In Jesus' wonderful name.